This morning we're going to look at Romans chapter 5. So let's look at verse 1. And as I read it, just follow along. Verse 1, Paul said, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." And not only that, I love this. When I read here, when I think of this word, and not only that, I think of, and wait, that's not it. If you act now, you'll receive a second one free. Right? There's more. And this is really where they got it from, I think, where Paul says, and not only that, guys, if you act now, you'll also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why is it quiet? Guys, I'm going to read it again. Listen. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah. Every time I read it, I think when I was the worst of the worst, that's when he died for me. Not when I was the best. Not when I was the teacher's pet or the valedictorian. It's when I was the worst of the worst. That's when he died for me. And much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom we have received the reconciliation. Amen. Verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And you know what? You're looking at the chief of all sinners. Paul said he was the chief of all sinners. I think I'm the president of all sinners. So, well, okay. Yeah, Frank, you can be the world leader of all sinners. Okay. But 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who have not sinned according to the likeness of the transgressions of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many die, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the gift is not like that which came through one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses result in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. And even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace abound much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. And so, Father, we want to show our love for you. And just reading the word itself, it explained itself, and it just ministers to us. It brings so much joy in my heart, knowing all that you have done for me, a sinner, chief of all sinners. And yet, in the worst that I could ever, what I ever done or what I could ever do, you still died for me, Lord. You died for us. And so we are so grateful. So bless us this morning, Lord, as we look to your word and just this encouragement. We want to be encouraged by what you did for us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for justifying us. Thank you that it's not by works, that nothing we can do can bring us into right standing before God. It's by what you did, Jesus. You did it all, and all we had to do was accept it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, it's chapter 5. Beautiful, beautiful chapter. Romans is awesome. And also 3 as well, you know, because I think chapter 3 can almost, it talks a lot about what Paul's saying in chapter 5, because in chapter 3, Paul declared through the scriptures that we are also justified by faith, and how God declared us righteous and innocent before because of our faith in Jesus Christ, and that how it had nothing to do with our works, but by us just believing in what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's it. Has nothing to do with what you do. You can never do enough to save yourself. Amen. I can't even fathom that. I can't even imagine what I would have to do to get saved. If I had to be saved, how much would I have to do to be saved? You could have never do enough. And I thank God that what Jesus did on the cross cannot be revised. Nobody can revise that. No one can make that better. Not one of us could go through what he went through and survive. Amen. Jesus went through it. It'll never be touched. It'll never be, his record would never be broken. And man's always trying to break records. We're always trying to be better than the next person. I always tell people, I tell my grandkids who play soccer, I say, listen, there will always be someone that is better than you. That's a given. You'll be better than some, but there'll always be someone better than you. Don't ever think that you're number one. Jesus Christ, there'll be no one who can ever break his record or be better than him. And I just love the fact that God has declared us righteous and innocent before because of our faith in him. And it had nothing to do with our works. All we had to do is just believe that he died for us on the cross, and he died in our place, and he took our sins upon himself. Therefore, God declared us righteous and innocent in all the everything we've done, all our wrongdoings. And then in chapter 4, Paul, he illustrates this by using the Old Testament and going back into history by using Abraham and David, who were the forefathers of the Jewish faith. I mean, they were very big into David and Abraham and the forefathers to show them that justification only comes by faith and not of works. You can't do enough. So having proven that justification is by faith, now we look at what Paul says here in chapter 5. Look at verse 1. It's my favorite. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that encouraging? We are justified. You know, the word justified means that we have been counted righteous. We have been found just or innocent. It means to be reckoned to. It means to credit to one's account, to judge and to treat and to look upon as being righteous. So having been justified by faith, Paul's talking about our own personal life here, guys. Our own personal experiences of being justified by our faith, and my very own experiences of being found before God just and innocent of all my wrongdoing. When I think about all the things I've done in the past, all the things I've done in the present, today, and the things that I'm going to do in the future, God has found me innocent of wrongdoing. I love it. Yes, I love it. And you too as well. Yeah, and Paul tells us that the very first blessing that can come from being justified or that justification by faith is that what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have the blessing, guys, of experiencing peace with God. Think about it. Peace with God. The guy who spoke everything into existence. You have the experience of having peace with him. I remember when I was, you know, raised as a Catholic, obviously, my dad, he used to say, hey, you were born a Catholic, you're going to die Catholic. And in going into the presence of the priest there, I stopped calling him Father when I accepted Christ. They didn't like that very much. I got in trouble for that a lot because I always call them by their name, you know, Mr. This or Mr. That. Hey, you're disrespecting. But I didn't feel peace when I went into his presence. In fact, every time I came into the presence of a man who was supposed to teach me the word of God, who was supposed to represent Jesus Christ, the love of God, I had to share all the bad things that I did. And you know what? I didn't feel bad about them. I made a lot of things up. Every Sunday it was a repetitious prayer. Every time I went into the confession booth, I said the same thing over and over. Why not? He said the same thing over and over to me. Every time I went in, he'd just say, okay, say this many Our Fathers, this many Hail Marys. It was the same thing every one. So I'll just tell him this. It's routine. I'll just tell him the same thing. But we get to experience being found before God and the experience of experiencing the peace of God in our lives. Isn't that good news? Doesn't that give you peace knowing that? That you don't have to work for your salvation, guys? You don't have to work in order to find favor with God, to have be in right standing with God. And how it is a blessing to be saved and to be called a child of God. I love what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3. I can't give you the exact verses. In chapter 3 when he says that, you know, we were chosen by God. Guys, you were elected by God himself. I like to think when I read that that you were elected by God, I like to think that of all the thousands and millions of people, God, I won the lottery. You won the lottery. You found that silver dollar. You were elected by God for what? To be holy and to be the beloved, his beloved. You know what that means? To be his bride. When I think my beloved, I mean husbands, how many of you used to say my beloved to your wife? I thought that was kind of corny. I never did that. I used to say my love. We used to, when me and Carmen were younger, you know, when we were, you know, we used to say my love, and they said my beloved. But Colossians tells us that you were elected because why? You were elected to be holy and to be his beloved, his bride. This is what God feels about you. So you don't have to work for that. It's a blessing to be saved, to be called a child of God, knowing that we are justified and it is guaranteed in our lives that, guess what? We're going to go to heaven. Think about that. It's a guarantee. And you can't break a guarantee, guys, okay? Try to break a guarantee. You can't. They'll come after you. You guarantee something, you know, you better fulfill it. It's a guarantee that we're going to get into heaven. But it also, it's the source of the blessing that, you know what, we can have peace and we can enjoy it here on earth. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to find peace with God, guys. We can experience peace of God here and right now. Don't think you have to wait till you get to heaven to experience the peace of God. You should be experiencing the peace of God now in your life. You know what it's called? It's called the joy of the Lord. I got a lot of joy right now because God has healed me and because God has healed Debbie of cancer. Who am I to complain? When I think of what he did for Debbie, I'm like, man, that brings me joy because I'm seeing it right before my very eyes. You're seeing it right before your very eyes. You're not just hearing it, you're seeing it. What does that tell you? That God is moving. Look what he says in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Therefore what? Therefore, it can also refer to what Paul said about David, what he said in chapter 4. Listen to what David said. He quoted David in chapter 4. He said, just as David also described the blessedness of the man in whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And blessed is the man whom the Lord should not impute sin. David, you know, this is obviously Paul, he quotes this, and David wrote it in Psalms 32. And you know, many believe that when David wrote this, when he said these words of prophecy and the word of God, is when David committed sin with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. You can read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 11 through 12. Remember, after he committed adultery with her, David, he arranged for Uriah, her husband, to be put to death. He tried to cover his sin, his sinful act, right? He tried to cover for a whole year. A whole year, David was in rebellion against God. He was in denial. He stubbornly refused to take responsibility to deal with his sin. And during that time, you can imagine what he was experiencing and carrying that weight of unconfessed sin. Tell me, guys, when I'm sinning and I know it, you know, it's a heavy burden, right? I mean, do you feel that? When you know you're doing what you're not supposed to do, and I mean, you just don't do it and it's wiped away. You know, you feel that weight. You got to almost like, I got to go home and take a shower and Clorox, you know? It's like there's this heavy burden. Well, David had, he probably was feeling that for over a year, carrying that sin and refusing to take responsibility. I mean, finally, after the prophet Nathan confronted him, he finally acknowledged his transgression. He confessed before the Lord his God, and his sincere confession, you can read that, it's recorded in Psalms 51 as well as in 1 Samuel. And I think that if there's anybody or anyone who needs God's forgiveness the most, it definitely would have been David and Paul. I mean, they had a lot to be forgiven for, guys. You think you got a lot to be forgiven for? I can't even compare to what they had, you know, what they needed to be forgiven for. Think about David, committed adultery, he committed murder. He tried to cover it up. He tried to sweep it under the carpet. And then you got Paul. He was responsible for the death of many Christians. We're talking men, women, and children before he got saved. He even killed the very first martyr in the New Testament, Stephen Morales. You know, that's because I say that because that's my real name, Stephen Ray, okay? Could have been worse. He could have called me Stephen Wolf. I don't know why my dad called me that, but Stephen. One of the first deacons of the early church in Jerusalem. So David and Paul, they were men who God loved much and used greatly. Think about Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. They both found the peace of God that passes all understanding, guys. Well, don't you want the peace of God? Knowing that the Lord accounts righteousness apart from your works. Aren't you happy about the fact that the Lord forgives you of all your sins? Doesn't that make you happy? Yeah. Right, right. I'm excited. No, I gotta forget it. If God said it and I confess it, I gotta forget it. I can't think, oh, sometimes I find myself being a double-minded man that James talks about. When you lift your prayers up to the Lord and then because of your doubt and you think God can't do it, you can't touch them, you become a double-minded person. You know how far some of my prayers have gone up to the Lord, and then through my doubt, they just came back, fell down. It's kind of like for you older people here. I can't relate. You know, you look, and how many of you look, and you see that little black thing in your eyes, right? You know who I'm talking about? And then you have the ability to move it up and down. You move it up, and for some reason, it doesn't stay there because it starts to float back down. Because you can't keep your eyeball up there, right? And then you put it back up again. You put it this way. I can do that right now. You know what I'm talking about? What is that? Is that lint in your eye? Or it's a floater, right? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. You younger people probably say, I don't know. What are you talking about? Us older people, sometimes I just play a game like, shh, 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 you know, yeah. Well, you know what? Sometimes, yeah, Pac-Man and Pac-Woman, okay? I'm Pac-Man right now, you know. Well, sometimes you can do the same thing with your prayers. You can pray to the Lord and you thank God. You say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me my sins. And you see it going up. And then you just kind of like, your heart, God knows the attitude of the heart is wrong. And it just comes right back down. And you end up becoming that double-minded person. You have to be careful with that. Man, be excited that God has forgiven us of our sins. Man, and that knowing that the Lord counts us righteous apart from our works, man, he won't hold them against us if we truly repent, if we truly don't practice sin and we don't make it our God or our lifestyle. Aren't you happy to know that there's nothing that you need to do about it except receive it by faith? Aren't you happy with that? Because I'll tell you what, if it depended upon what we know, how much we know, I would be on the back of the line. Some of you here would be in the front of the line. I saw a movie, a clipping of this movie. I don't know what the name of the movie was. It was all these people standing in line who died, and now they're going to be determined whether they spend in paradise or in hell. In order for them to go to paradise, they have to have something to show for it, so they got to give. So you have all these rich people, and they're coming with a box full of gold and everything, and they come, and they present it, and they have these guys that are saying, okay, what do you have to present? They give it, and they get eternal life. And then you have these poor people that come up. They have nothing to give. Because they have nothing to give, they all of a sudden, they just shows them screaming, and they go to hell. And I thought, wow, God. That's the gods of this world. Thank God that there's nothing you need to do but receive it by faith. Receive it. We just have to trust in the work that Jesus did at the cross. He founds us. God finds us righteous because of what he did. He justifies us because of what Jesus did. And you know the beauty of justification, what's the beauty of it? It's a lasting thing, guys. Think about it. It doesn't have an expiration date. It's everlasting. It's eternal with God. It doesn't need to be renewed. It doesn't need to be revised. Eternal life is everlasting. Justification is everlasting. There's no, okay, on Pastor Steve, on January 12th, you're going to have to renew your justification because it expires. So you need to go get a smog on your body. You know? Go see them. And you can only go to this smog place. You can't go over here. Not what Jesus did for us. God, I heard a neat story. God, who also is the great chef, okay? A chef. I don't know. How many of you guys like to cook? My son-in-law, he's a great cook. Oh, Reuben? Man, he's a good cook. Well, God is also a great chef. And he cooks for you guys. And so what he does is he takes his mixing bowl. He adds some grace. He adds some mercy. He adds some truth, some justification. Then he mixes it all together with some sacrificial blood. And voila. He made us some righteousness and some peace. And he goes around asking everybody, would you like a slice? Would you like a taste? And some people, maybe if I know that you put mayonnaise on it, you're not going to want to touch it. Okay, they're all going because they're getting set up for you guys to eat, to try some of this, what God made. Okay, it's downstairs, so don't leave or else you won't get a slice. There's a neat story. You might remember this happened. I can't remember when this happened. About that young boy, he was outside of Buckingham Palace. He requested to talk to the queen. But they refused him. They wouldn't allow this little boy, and, you know, and he started to cry. Well, it just so happened that Prince Charles was there, and he saw everything. He saw the whole thing. So he approached the boy. He took him by the hand. He said, come on, son. If you want to talk to the queen, come with me. And he took him in to talk to the queen. And I like to think, you know what? We can talk to the king continuously when we take the hand of the son. In morsel, yeah. Psalms chapter 2, verse 12. David says, if you kiss the Son, you'll live. You know, David, he's talking about having that act of submission and that act of obedience to God. You'll live. Psalms 85:10, David said, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down on from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. And righteousness will go before him, and he shall make his footsteps our pathway. Guys, isn't it great and good news to know that righteousness and peace has become together to make our salvation? Amen. Righteousness, be happy you're saved. Man, I'm excited. I got to tell you another story. I love it. These stories are just, that you can relate to them. That's why Jesus told parables. He told stories that the people can relate to. And they got it. You're about the one, about the man who just, you know, he had a very bad day at work. How many of you, sometimes you have a very bad day at work? And you go home, and you want to go home to be able to what? Just zone out. You don't want to come home to a honey-do list. You don't want to come, ladies, you don't want to come home to, hey, where's my dinner? You want to zone out. You want to be able to just relax. Well, this man, he had a very bad day at work. Everything was just going wrong for him, and he was really looking forward to just leaving and going home. And when the time came for him to leave, he came home, and he was very exhausted at what took place at work, that he stepped into the front door, and he was greeted by his wife. Okay, and he said, hi, honey, boy, I'm so glad to see you. And she looked at him and said, I'm glad to see you also, but I have some news for you. And he looked at her and he said, look, I just had the worst day of my life. I've come home, and you want to make it more worse than what it already is. Come on, give me a break. And so she looked at him and said, you know, maybe it's good news then. We have 5 beautiful children. And he looked at her and he said, you know what? You know, you're right. I'm sorry. We do have 5 beautiful children. So what's the good news? And she said, the good news is that you'll be happy to know that 4 of them didn't break their arm today. So the good news here, guys, is aren't you glad that you don't have to work to be righteous before God? And you don't have you can have the peace about knowing that God did all the work. All you have to do is be obedient to him. That's not work, right? You know, that's not work to be obedient. It's a lifestyle. Obedience is a lifestyle. It's not work. Don't look at it as work, or don't look at it as an obligation. Don't look at it as I have to. It's a lifestyle. It's something you live for. That's what the good news is. But if I was to think about it, if you were to just try to be justified by your works, when I try to justify myself by my works, and then I'm not going to have peace with God. Maybe I have a little bit, but it's not going to last as long as I'm doing it. It's not going to last. But and the reason why is because I always fall short, right? Don't you always fall short? And the peace of God, it wouldn't last. But because we are justified by faith and we believed in what Jesus Christ did for us, that justification, it never changes and it never comes and it never goes. I know that when I stand before God, even today, I can just come right into his presence knowing that I'm justified by Christ. You guys heard of the Apostle Creed, right? The Apostle Creed, you know, you're not going to find it in the Bible the way it's written. The Apostles' Creed is not, it came from the apostles, but they didn't write it. The apostles didn't write it. It was written at least about 150 years after the apostles had died. And it's called the Apostle Creed because it's supposed to be a record of what the apostles taught. They taught it. So listen to how it goes. It says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, and the communion of the saints, and the forgiveness of sin, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. I mean, guys, everything I just read, that's the work that was done for our salvation. And even when I sometimes blow it, I don't know, when I don't do what is right, you know what? That work what God did to justify me, that never changes. Because of my faith is in the work that was done at the cross. And with the work at the cross, that work never changes. And because my faith lies in Jesus Christ, therefore I can still have the peace of God with me through my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That never changes. The work on the cross will never change. It will never be revised. It will never be broken. I got three questions. Don't answer them. Okay, I'll tell you, I'll share, but the three questions are that you can write them down and you can answer them yourself, and then you can get back to me next week and tell me how you answer these questions. The first one is, why is justification necessary? Justification is necessary because of the sin that separates us from God. Man has rebelled against God from the very beginning and has taken his life into his own hands all the way back from the very beginning when Adam fell in the garden. And because man desires to do according to what John says in 1 John chapter 2, it says, do not love the world, the things of the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides what? Forever. Let's do it again. Forever. You got to do it right. You got to remember the little boy from the Sandlot? Forever. Yes, that's a long time. So the battle that we struggle with, the fulfilling of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and holding on to the pride of life, to the things of this world, is why we need justification. We need to be justified by God. Why does God justify? Here's the second question. Why? Write it down so you can answer them. Why does God justify a man? Well, God justifies a man because of his son, Jesus Christ, again. When we believe in Jesus Christ, guess what? God takes our faith and he counts it as righteousness. And God is willing to do this all by himself. He doesn't need or he doesn't ask for our help. How many of you heard God say, hey, Misty, I want to justify you today. Can you help me? You ever heard God tell you that? No. He don't need your help. How many of you want to help him, though, right? Obviously, we all could help him. God, you know, I think we can do it this way. Listen, when you pray to God, give him direct prayers, not directional prayers. Don't tell him how to do it. You just give him your prayer. You know, be specific. He doesn't need or ask for our help. God is willing to justify you because why? He loves you that much. That's how much he loves you, that he's willing to do it by himself. John 3:16. He loved the world. He gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then the third question. Write it down so you can answer it. You can answer it according to how you want it, and you can tell me later. How does God justify man? You know what? Because humanity has rebelled against God and sin has broken that relationship with God. When we stand before God, we are far from being innocent. We are guilty. We're good at falling short, right? I mean, how many of you are good at falling short to the glory of God? How many of you can honestly say, hey, you know what? Sin is fun, but for a season. I mean, don't say, oh, I've never said that, because you might not have said it. You might have thought it, or you might have done it. Sin is fun, but only for a season, because it brings forth death. Or else God wouldn't have told us that. We're guilty. We're good at falling short. And some of us are better than others. I know when people tell me, how are you feeling, Pastor Steve? I'm always saying better than some and worse than others. So how can he restore that relationship? How can we be acquitted for what he has done. Well, how does God justify a man? Easy. When a person sincerely trusts in Christ, then God takes that man's faith and he counts it as righteousness. And it's through Jesus that God takes a person and treats him as what? As innocent. God, he justifies the ungodly. That's his business. And it's through his mercy and his grace when they trust in Jesus and when they take that step of faith and when they give their life over to him, Jesus comes in and we become what? Born of what? Say it again. Born again. We are born again. And how do we know this? How can you know without a shadow of doubt? It's because of what Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 9, 6, chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Write that down. Listen to what Paul said. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators or idolaters or adulterers or homosexuals or sodomites nor thieves or nor covetousness nor drunkards or revilers or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Man, I mean, some of you, oh yeah, man, that's he's talking about me. I mean, I think all of us can probably say, you know, he's talking about me. I mean, you might not have done it through action. I'm sure you done it through thought or maybe even words. He goes on and says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. You hear what I'm saying? You were washed, but you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's how you know. By your changed life. I look at you guys and you guys aren't the same. You're different. You guys, I can see when you're happy and you're excited about your faith in God. And you're talking Christianese. You're sharing about all the people you've talked to and you shared prayer and you share all these things about God. I mean, that's proof right there that you have been justified. So having peace with God means, guys, that he has restored our relationship with him and that we are no longer separated from God, that we are now reconciled with God, that we are accepted by God, and that we are set free from what? From his wrath and from the judgment that is coming on this earth. What is that judgment? It's going to be terrible. If you're left behind. Jesus is coming back for his people. And we are going to be excluded from the great tribulation, that great judgment that he's going to bring on this earth. And we don't have to be part of that. Isn't that great news? Woohoo! Yeah. So not only do we have peace with God, but look at verse 2. I'm going to end it. You need to go eat. He says, not only do we have peace with God, but he says, and if you act now, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace which we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God, which is another result of justification, is guess what? We have access into the grace of God. You guys know what grace means in the Greek, right? It means a gift or a favor, an unmerited and undeserving gift or favor. It's an act. It's a divine influence upon the heart. It is reflected in our lives. It's God's unmerited favor, and he gives us what we need and not what we deserve. Thank you, Lord. The grace mentioned here, guys, is that we have a place. We have a position in the presence of God. We have God's grace. That's what brings us in the position of salvation, that we can come to God, a place to which we are brought, a position to which we are placed by God himself. You are elected by God. It's a place of God's presence. It's salvation. And the word access in verse 2, where it says access, you know what that means? It means to bring to, it means to move to, it means to introduce and to present. It's almost like the thought of being in this royal court, of being presented and introduced to the King of Kings. And Jesus is the one who opens the door and he gives us that access to God's presence. He's the one who presents us to God. I mean, as a father, I present my daughter to her husband when I walk her down, the aisle. My oldest daughter, that was hard to do because I had to give her away, and then I had to walk up and had to do the service. And I remember up there saying, the first thing I said, you know what? It's hard because, you know what? My daughter ain't going to be holding my leg, and I'm not going to be dragging her no more. She ain't going to be jumping on my back no more. I'm not going to be holding her no more. That's the bad news. The good news is that I'm going to be saving a lot of money on my car insurance. That's the good news. You know? John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. If anybody enters in by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find what? Pasture. He will find pastor. Pastor Jesus. Okay, not Pastor Steve, obviously. You know, the door's too tall. I can't even reach the handle. Look what he says here. In verse 2, through whom we also have access by faith into the grace which we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Christ has justified us, God. He has removed our guilt, our shame. He has given us boldness and confidence to stand before God. So take a stand and do it in honor and privilege before our true living God. Stand with grace and righteousness because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your head up high. Don't come in condemned. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Come in with conviction, with honor. Another result of justification we'll end here is hope. Look what he says, hope. Verse 2, he says, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not just hope, guys, but it's a hope of the glory of God. A hope that it is for the glory of God in our lives. I'm going to leave you with two verses here. When I think about the hope that's in the world, that the world has to offer, think about it. What does it mean to the world? Well, hope to the world, it's just a desire. It's a want. It's something that many won't even get. But the hope that comes from God, it's something that will happen. Our hope is a sure thing. It's a strong confidence of assurance because our hope, it's an inward possession that we have. It's in us. It's part of our life. Again, it's a lifestyle. It comes from the Holy Spirit, and it dwells in our life. It's a guarantee, that hope. It's not, oh, I hope I have it. It's kind of like salvation. Hey, are you saved? Too many Christians, I say, are you saved? I think so. I hope so. I don't know. I'm not sure. No, those shouldn't even be a words in your mouth as a child of God. I know so. I'm saved. Well, how do you know? That really gets them. Because I'm a good person. No, it's because of what Jesus Christ did for us. The glory, you know, the glory that Paul mentions here is to possess and to be full of God's glory. We're to be full of God's glory, that perfect light of God in us, knowing that in these two questions, these two scriptures, and we'll pray. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, write it down. Being confident of this very thing, that he who's begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, 4. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Isn't that a lot to be joyful and excited about? We are justified by God and not by anything we do. By faith. Walk in faith. And all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. That's it. You don't need a big faith. Mustard seed, like this. So it tells me I just got to believe. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know he will. Amen.